My guest at this time is Matthew Staver. He is the founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel and the dean of the Liberty University School of Law. He has joined us many times throughout the marriage debate. And here on Wednesday, the 4th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals has rejected request to have their decision stayed regarding the definition of marriage in the state of Virginia. The court earlier this year struck down the state constitutional amendment defining marriage as one man and one woman. Supporters of the traditional definition are waiting to get an answer on the U.S. from the U.S. Supreme Court on this, but the appeals court today is saying they will not stay their decision, and unless the Supreme Court does so, there will be legal same-sex marriage in Virginia next week. And Matt, thanks so much for being with us.
You're welcome. Good to be with you.
How surprised are you that the court did not agree to stay the decision until the Supreme Court decided what it wanted to do with this case?
Well, it's a clear indication of judicial activism. This is a no-brainer that you stay the decision because this has never been heard before in an appellate court like this, never been heard before the United States Supreme Court. So the consequences are chaotic. If, in fact, they don't stay the decision and people go get marriage licenses and then the case is overturned, then all of those licenses are invalid. They're not worth the paper they're written on. So it's a no-brainer that they would stay this. But the only reason they wouldn't is because they're ideologues, not because they're acting as judges, as neutral arbiters, looking out for the law and the rule of law and the best for Virginia. But they're obviously advocates for same-sex marriage. I think what we're seeing is not marriage on trial. We're seeing the judiciary on trial. The only power that they have is in the confidence of the people. If the people lose confidence in the courts, then the courts lose their power. They have no independent enforcement power because all that has to be enforced by the executive branch. They certainly lose power or gain power only when the people respect their decisions. But when they act like this, how can you respect the decision by these activist judges?
Matt, there are a couple of different clerks within the state of Virginia who are petitioning to the Supreme Court to have this taken up with, and we spoke to the counsel of one of them a little bit earlier, and he said that based on the Supreme Court precedent of forcing a stay in the Utah case related to the definition of marriage, that it's expected the Supreme Court will do the same in this case. What's your expectation?
I think there's no question that the Supreme Court will stay this case. They did it in Utah. They also did it in the case out of California, Proposition 8. I think they'll stay it here. This particular Fourth Circuit panel obviously should be aware of that, the fact that they're ignoring this possibility, this actuality, reality, really clarifies crystal that they're not acting as neutral arbiters, they're not acting as judges, they're acting as advocates, and as such they shouldn't be judges for doing this. This literally, I think, loses confidence in the people when judges act this way.
The constitutional amendment was passed by Virginia voters in 2006 by a fairly wide margin, just a little under a 20-point margin. There have been, of course, legal challenges to the amendment, which is what we're now seeing going through the appellate system. But one big shift that happened earlier this year was the new attorney general in the state of Virginia, Mark Herring, deciding to no longer defend the law and side with the plaintiffs. How big of an impact do you think his activism has been on how this case has proceeded?
Well, I think it's a big impact. The Attorney General of the state of Virginia ought to do his job. His job is to enforce this constitutional amendment. If he has a moral or some other objection to it, then he should step aside and let someone else do an aggressive defense. In any other area, if an attorney actually turned on the client and actually argued something that the client did not want, the opposite, frankly, of what the client wanted, that attorney would be subject to sanctions. That attorney would be subject to professional responsibility, ethics challenges, and discipline. That's what this attorney general ought to be, because it's clear, crystal clear, what the people of Virginia wanted. They want this marriage amendment. They said it loud and clear. That's the intent of his client. The client should be represented, and if he can't represent them, then he should step down and appoint an outside independent counsel to do so.
Matt, do you assume that at this point, given the way the judicial system is working, that this will be a case the Supreme Court takes up, and next June we're going to have a final answer on this?
Well, I think that certainly it will be a case that the Supreme Court takes up. But as for the final answer, I have no confidence in the Supreme Court on this particular critical issue. Frankly, if the Supreme Court were to take up gravity and determine that the laws of gravity were no longer good for us, but they were good for the founders and we've evolved past it, what kind of an opinion would that be? I think that's the same thing with marriage. We did not create marriage. It's not created by religion. It's not created by any government. It predates government and religion. It is part of the natural created order. Male and female, husbands and wives, are made for each other in ways that two people of the same sex are not. That's why historically, no culture in the world has accepted or adopted same-sex marriage, except in 2000 when the Netherlands adopted same-sex unions, only 14 years ago. And in Massachusetts, where the first state in the United States adopted it in 2004, only 10 years ago. So in world history, even when you look at the Greeks, how promiscuous they were, you only have 14 years outside the United States and 10 years in the United States with this dangerous experiment. So I think no matter what the courts do, you can't change what is reality, objectively so, male and female, made for each other, and therefore through history, predating cultures, religion, and political regimes, marriage has always been the union of a man and a woman.
Matt, let's get a little bit into the political element of this. When the Windsor case was argued in, I believe it was March of 2013, and the ruling came down in June of last year, there were hardly any statements coming out in favor of traditional marriage, in defense of traditional marriage, whereas at the time of the arguments, it was basically a Democratic avalanche of folks coming down saying that they now supported same-sex marriage. When it came to local district courts, appellate courts, specifically from Virginia Republicans and so forth, haven't seen a word, haven't seen any reaction yet in response to the appellate court's decision not to stay this decision. What do you make of the virtual silence on this from the political right?
Well, I think from the political right, the Republicans and so forth, those that are Republican elected officials, state and federal, those who remain silent will ultimately be held accountable, just as much as Democrats who advocate to the contrary. This is not an issue in which you can remain silent any more than you can remain silent during Nazi Germany. That was a moral issue. It was not defined by geography. There was a moral imperative there of the dignity of the human being. You can't remain silent there and expect no consequences. Nor can you remain silent or advocate to the contrary with regards to the undermining of marriage as the union of a man and a woman. That policy matter says that boys don't need fathers. Boys, you simply don't need fathers. They're irrelevant to your well-being. And girls, you don't need moms. That's the policy that comes out of same-sex marriage. If politicians want to advocate that, or they want to remain silent in the face of that, if they want to remain silent in the face of well-known religious hostility that will result, then there will be consequences to their political future.
Matt, we'll be watching. Thanks very much for your time today, as always.
Thanks, my pleasure.
Matthew Staver is the founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. He's the dean of the Liberty University School of Law. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.